This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Down and out, what's that about? You can count on them to count us out. But all year, we've been doing it our own way.
Since when did we even care if they look past us or if they stare? Cause all we need's a bunch of weed, joints to smoke, munchies to feed. I've never smoked, but I'm down to try. If I inhale too much, are you sure I won't die?
I'm really tired from
that was a lot.
There's no way you could do a concert.
I'm so exhausted.
That was 70 seconds of lip syncing. And you're already gassed.
I spilled water on myself.
Yeah, it wasn't even like a cool liquid.
I was gonna, pour it on my head. And then
you
I
got
realized.
Some dirt on the couch, though. Yeah. We have some resolve.
and you have no resolve.
That was your song.
That was my band. That was me. Not singing or playing any of the instruments.
Per se.
But I am the de facto
head.
Band leader, main front lead singer guy, the front man of the band, yeah. I would say.
It is weird that like most bands, like if you come up with the songs, you have to also sing it. Like there should be like the equivalent of a writer director for a movie, but for a band.
That's me. I'm the first ever of that new hybrid model.
Right. I guess most singers don't necessarily write their own songs.
Yeah. Like people write fucking music for Katy Perry or whatever, and I could probably do that.
Yeah.
I could probably do that.
Yeah. So you're like that. You're not the Katy Perry. You're like the Dr. Luke behind the
person. Yeah, but not with the music. So,
sorry.
I'll do lyrics.
Yeah.
If that's a trouble for anybody.
So the line where it's like, down to smoke. I've never smoked, but I'm down to try.
If I inhale too much, are you sure I won't die? That was me.
I have some munchies I could feed.
Right. Did we get to the munchies? Oh, yeah. Munchies to feed.
Yeah.
This was based on your suggestion of a guy who wants to try weed but is afraid.
That's cool. All right. I'm back in.
Yes. Shout out to Gareth O'Connor.
Who does all the other stuff.
Right.
So you can listen.
The actual front man.
You can listen to Fade on Shuffle anywhere, right? YouTube, Spotify.
Yeah. Anywhere you listen to your music, you can check out Fade on Shuffle.
That's your second single. Mm-hmm. So you need about 10 more songs to make an album.
Yeah. Our goal is actually to make a 5-song EP.
Okay.
So I need to come up with lyrics to 2 more songs. And then we're going to do a pop punk cover of a song.
Wow.
Because that's kind of like classic.
What are you thinking?
I believe Gareth suggested that Hercules song, I Am On My Way.
Oh,
I Can
the
Go
song
the Distance.
From
Yeah.
Phil Collins from Hercules.
Yeah.
I can go the distance. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. That's going to be really good.
That'll be the best song on the album.
Yeah, it'll be funny because that's the one that I have absolutely nothing to do with, including not even choosing it as the cover.
Yeah, you fought tooth and nail to not include the Tarzan thing because Disney is, quote, litigious as fuck. Let's not get into that camp.
Tarzan actually would be a good one. I love that Son of Man song.
Another Phil Collins. I can go the distance. Is that Hercules?
Yeah, that's Hercules. Tarzan. I don't know if it's Phil Collins either.
I can go the distance, Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
I can go. Oh yeah, Tarzan is Phil Collins, right?
Yeah, and it's a great soundtrack.
Son of Man. it was written, by Alan Menken, the guy who does all the Disney songs.
There you go.
Shout out to Alan.
Yep.
Shout out to Fade on Shuffle.
Big ups.
If you are listening to this, you missed Jake rocking out, which we got on video because we're back in the studio together.
Yeah, we're back in the studio.
So you can see Jake going absolutely ham.
Yeah, and it's a little embarrassing how hard it was, but also it's cool that I didn't twist my ankle, which I really thought that I would do.
You could have, yeah.
I could have, easily. I could have been out of commission.
Are you fallen
backwards into that camera over that microphone. I could have really hurt my ribs.
It just goes to show you that, like, these aging rock stars are, it's actually pretty impressive when you see, like, a 72-year-old rock star still going ham at a concert for 2 hours.
But, you know, I did an hour-long Peloton bike boot camp, shout out to Jess Sims, this morning. So I feel like it's not really an age thing. It's more that I just, like, already worked out really hard today.
Oh, I see. So when you jumped on the couch and you were like, I'm afraid I twisted my ankle.
Yeah,
that was because of the workout?
Yeah, that was just like, well, I've already done a bunch of human makers today. So I feel like, you know, my quads were...
like kind of toast.
Toasted. Yeah. They were toasted. They were toasted. If I hadn't worked out, I probably would have been bouncing off the walls.
Maybe tomorrow you could do one without the workout. You could bounce off the walls.
Yeah, maybe. But I was planning on going swimming in the morning.
So just don't go swimming. You could bounce off the walls.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a better workout for you anyway.
Well, I'm training for a triathlon.
Oh, really? That includes swimming, biking, and running?
That's correct.
How long of each?
It's not the Olympic triathlon. It is it's called a sprint triathlon.
Okay.
So it's 10 meters of swimming.
That's so little.
One lap of running.
Nothing.
And then you have to ride your bike down the block. But you can do it on your tricycle, which is what I have.
That's like an obstacle course you made for yourself.
I think it's half a mile swim, 12-mile bike ride, 3-mile run.
Wow. I mean, the swimming is the hardest part by far.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
for me, a 3-mile run is relatively fine.
Yeah, I think
and a
everything.
12-mile bike ride, but a 1/2-mile swimming is no joke.
All of those things on their own are very doable.
Yeah.
I do more, like I do longer than that when I run. I do longer than that when I bike, but I never ever swim.
Right,
and it's like open water swim, not open water. It's a lake, but
you can't like just like chill. Like you're like, ooh, I'm gassed. Let me hold on to the edge of the pool.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think that it's probably all beyond where you can touch. It's across a lake in New York, so I'm not entirely sure like what the vibe is.
When are you going to do that?
September 24th.
That's so soon.
Yeah.
It might have already happened.
Oh, yeah. It's possible.
Are you worried about the 1/2-mile swim, or you have done 1/2-mile swimming uninterrupted?
I've done 1/2-mile uninterrupted. It's not easy. I was really gassed when I was done with that.
Especially if you don't practice.
Or, no, you know what I did? To practice, I've done – it's mostly just surfing.
Oh, so interesting.
The surfing has helped, especially because I paddle in a wetsuit. I've done like two, you know, visiting the gym swimming laps, and both those times I swam a mile.
A mile straight.
Not like, I rest, but it's not like I needed to like stand and like sit on the wall or anything.
Right.
You know, I could just as easily, if I'm in the lake, tread water for a bit and then continue swimming. Yeah.
Who are you doing it with?
My sister, maybe two of my sisters.
Wow.
And maybe Jill.
Wow.
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing how difficult or easy it was.
I look forward to telling you all about it.
How long do you think it'll take you?
I don't know what a good time even is.
Yeah.
So I actually have no idea. I want to see if I like the vibe, because if I do, I feel like that it could
be
something
to
like
extending it.
Yeah, because I'll never be able to run a marathon because my legs just don't work like that. But I think if I can toss in biking and swimming, maybe
you
I could
do a
like,
half Ironman.
Yeah, yeah, like the. Yeah, this one's the Olympic sprint, and then there's also like, maybe it's an, I don't even, no, it's the sprint triathlon, then the Olympic triathlon. That's the next one up.
So and Iron Man is even more than that?
Iron Man is like a full-ass marathon.
In addition to like 125 of biking.
Yeah.
And like a 3 miles.
Sort of. Yeah, it's like something like that. It's like a...
It takes almost a day.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll never do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but you could. You've done a marathon.
Yeah, but I can't do the other stuff.
Right. You don't know how to ride a bike.
Right, and I don't like swimming. I also don't really run that much anymore.
Yes.
What I could do is like an hour of
tennis.
Would
you ever run another marathon?
No.
You wouldn't.
Not.
You yeah, would
no.
never do it.
No,
never. Not even like a hint in your mind that it's like, oh, it would be fun to prove that I still got it.
No, I don't still got it. I like play sports now, and it's like after an hour, I'm pretty much done.
Interesting. Yeah.
I'm out. I'm fully out the game. Mm-hmm. All right, this is after all an advice podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get into it. We're not just talking about Jake's fitness goals. We're talking right. about people who are stuck in sticky situations. It's called If I Were You. It's the only advice pod on the web hosted by us. These are real emails from real people.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to give them some fake names.
Okay.
To preserve their anonymity. It makes sense.
Right.
We don't want to out them.
Definitely.
This subject line made me laugh. It says, in all caps, I think Tigger fucked me.
I think Tigger fucked me. Okay.
Exclamation point. Exclamation point.
Interesting. Get our attention with the subject. That's the key.
I'm 29 and I live in England. I have a really weird problem, and everyone else I've spoken to would rather laugh at me. I live with my girlfriend, and we've been together for a few years. It was my birthday last week, and my girlfriend's father surprised me with a gift he'd made himself.
Wow.
I know he's been an amateur painter for a while, but I've never seen any of his work before now. The problem is it's a large portrait of a tiger, and it looks like a fucking 12-year-old made it. I'm a gentleman, so I pretended like it was amazing, and he fell for it. However, he's at our house often. What the fuck do I do with this fucking abortion of a tiger?
Oh my God.
My girlfriend seems to think it's not so bad and we should put it up anyway. I've grown quite fond of her in the last 6 years and I don't want to fuck
six
this up.
Years.
But I really hate it. Help. I'll attach a picture of it in all its horror. I sent
wow.
it to Casey. Let's see if we can get it on the big board. But a painting of a tiger oh. so bad that he doesn't want to leave it up.
I don't think that's, I mean, I feel like this is an artistic choice.
Yeah.
It's not like he's trying to draw a realistic tiger.
Yeah, it's more like in the style of like 11th century Japanese art or something
yeah,
like
it
that.
It kind of looks like the face is more of a horse face.
It's better than I can do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't
the
say
colors
much.
Are fun. I mean, look, art is subjective. So he doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? I don't think this is bad at all.
I can see a world where it looks like a 7-year-old painted it, though.
Yeah, sure. It. I mean, but, you know, I feel like some art is knowing the source of it, knowing the artist.
Yeah.
So you know who painted it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's nice to do the right thing for your family. You have to make sacrifices every once in a while. I don't know how big your place is. This needs to go on the wall.
Oh,
it's
it
actually,
needs to.
Yeah, it's not. It's non-negotiable to me.
Can you do the whole like when he's here, let's put it up. When he's gone, it's
no, because then you have to talk. Then it becomes a thing. Why would you make it a thing? Mm. Where you're telling your girlfriend that you don't like her dad's passion.
Yeah,
like it was a very sweet gesture. He painted this. He gave it to you, and now you not only have to say I don't like it, but you have to tell your girlfriend that you hate it so much that. I don't know. I feel like not liking it is a personal thing.
Yeah.
You should keep that secret. Don't tell your girlfriend that you don't like it because then she has to keep a secret from your dad.
Right.
From her dad.
Of course.
That's not right.
I will say like the more paintings, like the more you keep it up, the less your eyes will even notice it. Like you just sort of, if something is constantly there, you just stop seeing it entirely.
Yeah. So let's think about it like this. You send this bad boy to Framebridge.
Mm-hmm.
You pick a cool frame. Mm-hmm. You get the... you kind of start to make it a piece that is beyond just the actual canvas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could also put this, I don't know the size of it. It looks like that's a bag right here.
Yeah, that's a bag.
So not huge. This could easily be part, with a nice frame, easily be part of a gallery wall. It'll blend in with a bunch of other art.
So you want him to put the bag up as art?
No, I'm saying this painting is not so big that it would take up, you know, an entire wall.
Uh-huh.
The bag, I'm
it's
just...
It's not like it was a piece of little, like a trinket.
I was using it as a
you.
Size reference. Forget...
Stop focusing on the bag.
I don't mind the bag right here.
Try not to think about the bag as much as you are.
Yeah.
I'm saying the bag
That's a nice piece.
It's honestly,
that's a really nice piece.
Not really. Not really. It's a little gauche, don't you think?
But to be like art,
the
like
the camel leather with the gold, with, it's a little gauche. It's
imagine
it's not
like
tasteful.
A painting, a bag. Maybe you have like a shoe. It's like a bunch of shit on the wall.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea at all. I think you misread something that I said. And have followed it down your own path, and now you're lost in the wilderness with
that'd
this
be cool like
idea.
A,
I know you think it's
glass,
be cool.
There's, a vase.
I don't
a
see
bag.
How you come back from this, Blumenfeld. You're talking about everyday objects being on the wall, all because I used it as a reference point for the size of the painting.
Cereal or something, yeah.
You don't hear
a
me.
A bowl.
It's like I'm not speaking.
That actually is not a bad idea either. Like a shirt.
I didn't say anything. That's not a bad idea either. You came up with it.
An old pencil sharpener, like from elementary school, the kind where you go like that.
That's interesting.
Really?
That's interesting.
On the wall next to a bag.
Yeah.
That's a coat hanger. A coat rack. That's a bag.
Yeah, so if you put enough shit on your wall, then you will stop noticing this.
Exactly.
There's also, I mean, there must be some place in your house, like it doesn't have to go above your bed, but is there some place in your house that feels like it's getting primary billing? But that is not, you know, like right in the living room. A hallway is a good place for that.
Yeah.
Also, if you've been with your girlfriend for 6 years, in theory, you guys have hung some stuff on the wall. So, you know, maybe it's not like insulting that you're not going to put it above the bed because you have something there already.
Yes, exactly.
So find a place for it. I think find a place for it.
What if you face it?
And learn to love it.
The other way. Flip it around so it's facing the wall.
No.
Back
obviously
of the
not. Yeah. Back of the canvas bag, punching bag, shopping bag.
Different bag. That's our bag wall. And then the tiger thing wouldn't make sense unless it was facing the wall.
I think you just need to reframe this in your head. Learn to love it. You have to learn to love it because what it represents is your significant other's father giving
your father
you a gift. Except
borderline father-in-law.
Yeah. Borderline and father-in-law accepting.
The dangerous game is like, oh, you like the tiger? I can do a whole fucking zoo for you guys.
Yeah.
It'll look like you're Dr. Doolittle in here.
Yeah. Well, then you could say like, yeah, we have some friends and family who would love this as well. So you don't have to put it in your house. You say like, yes,
I can do you a zebra so big there won't even be room for a bag.
Yeah. So I guess that's the slippery slope that maybe your attaboy gives him so much encouragement that he thinks you want to dedicate your entire house. He thinks you want it to become a gallery to him.
Yeah. a museum of sorts.
But I think the other risk is that you insult your girlfriend and her father and you kind of create a rift that you can't come back from.
So the tiger painting, though bad, is not as bad as a rift.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's bad. I think it's nice.
All right. And if you guys are watching on our YouTube channel, you can see this tiger. You can weigh in yourself.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can become a Detroit Tigers fan. So he feels like almost like a
kinship.
Yeah, with the tiger itself.
That's nice. Is that a monkey in the tree or just a different color for the branch?
That looks like it's a monkey in the tree. Yeah. It might be a monkey.
The proportion is certainly off there.
It's too small of a monkey.
Yeah.
The monkey is 6 inches tall compared to the tiger.
The tiger should have a tail, no?
Well, the bag should have a tail.
Why?
Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's.
Because you're hyper-focused on the bag idea.
No, I'm not.
And I think we just have to reset.
Let's have a reset.
Let's have a reset. Let's thank some sponsors and come back after these massages.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again. All the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Subscribe to HeadGum's newest podcast.
Yeah.
The Formula One podcast.
Wow.
Hosted by none other than our man, Speed Kacer.
Holy
that is
shit.
Right. Casey
Let's
Donahue.
Go.
So you guys did one pilot.
We did one pilot.
Proof of concept.
It went viral.
It was a hit.
It was a major hit.
It was a positive feedback loop.
Positive feedback loop. I don't know if we've ever had a more successful pilot.
Everybody wanted to watch, hear, enjoy along.
They demanded it. They demanded more, and there was almost a January 6th level riot when we didn't cover the race the following week in Belgium. Yeah.
So what happened? Because there was a bunch of people here. Was that that?
That was that.
A bunch of, yeah.
Exactly.
Sort of alt-right.
Someone shit in Marty's office, right?
Yeah. He was wearing Viking helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was Casey.
It was. He led them up. But we covered last week's Monza Grand Prix. So there's two episodes now. There's the pilot and the race from the 11th.
And it's the same crew in the pilot as the second one.
Yes, though we missed Andrew Pyle, who was traveling, but he is a regular host. It's me, Marika, Jeff, Andrew Pyle, and Casey is our host.
Wow, it's a real HeadGum production.
Yeah,
the pit wall.
The pit wall. We watched the Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. We make a prediction. Uh-huh. Before the race,
uh-huh.
We play the prediction, yeah. Then we just recap the race, talk all about it, all the hot goss.
In the first episode, you made the prediction from
yeah.
20 to 1.
Yep. And then in the second episode, Pyle made the prediction.
And how did he do?
Not great. I believe he used the term dead monarch energy
yeah.
was going to propel Lewis Hamilton to
Brit.
The win.
Yeah.
Because yeah. He's a knight. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was knighted. So Sir Lewis Hamilton... who I believe came in fifth or sixth. Is that right, Casey?
He came in fifth, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was fifth. He was in fifth. Sainz is in fourth.
Yes.
Then Russell,
yeah.
then Leclerc, then Verstappen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he get the because Verstappen wins every single race, as far as I know, right?
Yeah.
That's did just he nail that right? prediction?
I think he's won 7 in a row.
Yeah, he didn't. It's not fun to predict that Verstappen will win because he usually does.
How does one win 7 races in a row? Is his car driving faster? Like, I'm not quite understanding he can do that other people cannot.
Their car is better. Every team constructs their own car.
I see.
So the Red Bull car is better than most of the cars on the grid.
That seems weird. Like, imagine a shoe in basketball so good that, like, this player's the best because he has that.
Yeah, well, kind of. But, like, imagine one place has all, so like if Nike only made shoes for one team and the other people had to use Allbirds, like you actually could maybe imagine that they wouldn't be as good, right?
But then can Ferrari not like see what the car is made out of? Like what do they got that they can't do?
Well, my understanding is they made changes to how the car can be constructed between last season and this season. So every team had to make adjustments to it. And Red Bull made the best adjustments to the aerodynamics. It's like all underneath the car is faster than every other car.
So, like,
so the other teams can't really fix it until next season.
Got it. So like even if the race was just a 200-meter sprint, the Red Bull car would go faster.
Maybe, but there are cars that have better straight line speed.
Yeah.
So it's the whole package, the Red Bull car. And then it's coupled with they do have the best driver because Verstappen wins every race, but like Sergio Perez, who is also in Red Bull, doesn't always come in second.
And he has the same car.
The same car. and I mean, they both, I think they did a 1-2 in at Spa, and Verstappen beat Perez's time by like 13 seconds.
And are like the quotes after the match or the race being like, yeah, he has a faster car, so we're not really upset.
There are things that can happen in a race.
They're
kind of
getting
like,
there.
Yeah, they're like, what do you want from us?
Yeah, they say things like he's operating on another planet, like it's, like no, we can't catch him. And
is it instantly like he races off to a lead? It's like, that's it. He's gone. He's in first. He's never going to get
in caught. Spa. He had like a grid penalty. He started from like 14th or something.
Uh-huh.
And by lap 2, he was like fighting for the lead. He like,
and then once he's in the lead, it's over.
Yeah. Once he's in the lead, no one can catch him. But there are
it's
things
like
that can
bolt.
Right. But there are things that can happen. Like in this race, he was in the lead. He was in the lead by like 27 seconds or 17 seconds, you know, like an insurmountable lead.
Yeah.
And a car died on the side of the road. So they had to go to a safety car where everyone has to reduce their speed and follow a safety car. And they tend to all bunch back up.
Uh-huh.
And then it's about like who has the better tires and who can get a better restart. But the race didn't restart under the safety car. They ran out of time. So like there are ways that he could lose the race.
Right.
It's just all of the brakes also seem to go his way. So he has the best car. He's the best driver. And then all of the, you know, the unpredictable stuff just works out in his favor. So he's touched by God in a way too.
Is he a good guy?
It's definitely easier to portray him as a villain. I think he's, I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's.
What does he look like? How old is he?
He kind of looks like a villain. He's
25?
Yeah, he's 26. A young.
Where's he from?
The Netherlands and Belgium. He's a young Dutchman.
Oh, wow. He looks like, he looks like a billionaire.
Yeah. Christian Horner, the team principal from Red Bull, I think is kind of a sniveling dickling. So it's like they're an easy team to hate. And Max is easy to hate because he wins every race. But I don't think.
He looks like Luka Doncic.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Meets Jay Cutler meets Quasimodo.
Not really Quasimodo.
Yeah, because he sort of has this not hunchback energy, but he definitely gives Quasi.
He doesn't. Who's the hot guy in Quasimodo? Who's the prince?
That's what he looks like.
It's Quasimodo, Esmeralda, and some other guy.
Yeah, the guy that keeps him in the tower.
Yeah, no, not the guy that keeps him in the tower.
Yeah. Sort of evil. The evil tower owner.
Yeah.
So people don't necessarily like this Verstappen character.
A lot of people do like him.
Oh,
but
right?
I think that it makes racing a little less fun to just see him win every single week.
That's what happens in some sports where some guy gets too good and then it's like the backlash.
Yeah. But it's fun to watch people like almost beat him. And I think it'd be really fun now to see some people beat him. But we haven't gotten to see that.
Has he lost? And I guess he hit 7 in a row, right?
Yeah, there have been a couple races where like the Red Bull was having problems in the beginning of the season where like, you know, something like he lost power in the car, like the hydraulics failed. I can't remember exactly what, but like he either wins or does not finish. He doesn't like just come in second or third.
And last year he wasn't this dominant.
He was pretty dominant last year, but Lewis Hamilton from Mercedes also had a very good car, and they were kind of like trading wins, and they had a major rivalry. But this year, there's just nobody that's competing with him.
Oh my God, he's my height.
Is he really?
He's 5'11".
What?
Well, not 5'6".
Sorry. You give 5'6" the way he gives Quasimodo.
And his birthday's coming up too. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, he's turning 25 on September 30th.
Wow, that's a race weekend.
So he's 24 currently?
He's 24.
What race is on the 30th? Isn't there a race?
No, the next race is October 2nd, Singapore.
Singapore, damn.
Are you guys only doing the podcast during races?
Yeah.
So yeah,
for now.
Yeah, it's not every week. It's just whenever there is a race, you guys do it. I wonder if you guys should do like a live react too, like a live stream version of it.
Yeah, I think we talked about doing that, but Casey has to host and engineer, edit, and post the episode. So it's kind of your call, but I'm game.
That's really cool.
I think it might be easier to just do everything live and then that's
our text thread is funnier while we're watching the race. So I'm for the live reaction.
Aren't these races like in the middle of the night though?
They're on early in the morning. So like, you know, I'm watching it at 9, it's on at 6 a.m. here. Wow. Singapore might be different. I don't know what time Singapore is.
I think Japan it'll be like 2 a.m. here.
Yeah. And
which is easier to handle for me personally than
your night
5 a.m. Yeah.
See, when the Melbourne or the Australian Grand Prix started at like 1 a.m. and I was like, oh, I'll just stay up. But then it's like 10:30 and I'm like, I have nothing to do. I have to go to bed until the race.
So you fell asleep from 11 to 1?
Yeah, and I set my alarm. 1 a.m. got up like, whoa, Jesus. Should I have
oatmeal?
Should I have a drink? I have no idea.
Should I have a beer or a coffee?
Yeah. Or a Red Bull.
It actually reminds me of the car you rented today.
Tesla?
The Tesla.
Yeah.
You said the car itself was too smart for you.
Yeah, I'm too dumb to drive that car. I hate that car. I'm going to get a lot of flack in the comments, but I really don't like it.
Well, it's all maybe like cool because now like Musk has the backlash.
Oh, so okay.
On the cutting edge of that.
Yeah, I feel like everybody was being like, yeah, Musk is an asshole, mm-hmm. but he's got a great product. I think the opposite. I think Musk is cool.
Yeah, he's the
car kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I got upgraded at the Hertz rental car. They're mm-hmm. like, do you want this Tesla? Because they're rolling it out. I was like, oh, fuck yeah, this is going to be awesome. And the way you have to drive it is like, I can't see anything. Can't see out the back, forget it. At the side mirrors, I have no idea how to adjust them. Uh-huh. And if you put your signal on, rather than like looking out the mirror, it just shows you a video of what is the, like a camera that's
right, even that is where your mirror camera.
Yeah, yeah. So the car is kind of asking you to just don't worry about, you know, seeing anything with your eyes. We're showing you a video and we have sensors everywhere. We'll tell you how fast and where you are in the lane and everything. And then like when you press the gas, you go, and when you ease up on the gas,
you brake.
So it slows you to a stop. It's like pressing the brake. Marty said that is recharging the battery, like the power unit or something as you lift up. But like basically in a regular car, you press down on the gas, you can take your foot off and you're still going forward. This car, press down on the gas. If you lift your foot up at all, you start to stop. And like forget about, you know, moving to the brake because then you would just like grind. You would stop. Very, very short.
You're right.
So I got car sick yesterday driving from the airport to the hotel.
You got car sick in your own car because as I was almost self-driving to the point where you felt like a passenger.
It's so smart. It feels, when I drive my car, it feels like I'm driving it. This, it felt like a shared responsibility. It was like me and the car working together to get to the hotel.
Yeah. Cars went from like manual to automatic, and now this is the next iteration.
Yeah, and I'm glad that I'll die out before things are fully self-driving. I hope.
Yeah, it seems like it's happening already. Marty has a Tesla, and he was showing me the self-driving functionality, and like the car on the freeway, he wasn't even touching the steering wheel.
Yeah,
it was just like keeping distance, changing lanes, and doing all that.
There's just so much shit. Like to use the AC, it's like a touch screen, and you can kind of like swipe and be like, oh, the air is blowing this way now, and here's like, and now I'm turning it lower. It's like, I don't care about that. Just like fucking, I want a button
that makes it go on.
Yeah, I'll control the fan. I don't need to like fucking.
Have you seen the fart feature where it sort of does like a little toot?
Yeah, that's so dumb.
What do you think of that?
It's like, it's supposed to be like the coolest.
Do you like that part? But not
how are you supposed
parts?
To trust a car with your life to like self-drive and like avoid, you know, cars on the highway? It's like, oh, and also it'll for you.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's a whoopee cushion.
Yeah. How about you take this seriously? Because you're in charge of me being safe on the road.
Yeah.
Let's not toot at all, Elon.
Remember some cars like in the early 90s had the seatbelt that automatically went on.
Oh yeah, I hated that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's
kind
of like
that.
It seems like Tesla would have a cooler version of that. They got rid of that though. It seems like nothing has that anymore.
Yeah, I think people like got strangled from it. But yeah, it's, I mean, they're a car to me is like, I just need it to turn on and I want to be able to drive to a place. And this is like, it's just so many features that it's a little overwhelming and I'm not interested in learning any of them.
Is it very quiet?
Yeah, it's utterly silent. I have no idea if it's ever on or off.
Would you be interested in a non-Tesla electrical vehicle?
No, because I don't have anywhere. Like in the city, I don't have a parking garage or like, you know, an off-street parking place where I could charge. So, and I know you can like go to a charging station and like, but I don't know. That's.
You got to be there for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to do that at all.
You should be able to charge your battery at home and then slide it into a Tesla.
Yeah, and maybe that would be more interesting. I at the very least I'm interested in like a more hybrid car that gets better gas mileage.
Right, but you still need to pump it up full of gas.
Yeah, and until I can have a car that I can actually just, I don't know, if there's another way to charge the battery rather than me like running a power cord out into the street.
Yeah, people are doing that here. There's like, I'm like tripping over extension cords that go from somebody's house to like the sidewalk.
I want to live in the world that runs on electric cars, but we aren't doing it a clean enough job of it yet.
Yeah, you know how like you can charge your phone by putting it on a pad?
Yeah.
They should have a pad the size of a car.
See, that would be awesome. If like if parking spots would just charge your car.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Actually, I've been DMing with Elon, and that could be one of the few things that I bring up to him.
Cool.
I had an idea.
Yeah. What are your other ideas?
Well, I've been asking him for
few
like
things.
Yeah. I've been asking him for, I'm trying to sell feet pics.
So it's not really an idea for Tesla. You're just trying to get a picture of his feet?
Him in a thong sandal. And now I'm like, but maybe if I have the...
Is that a business idea? You're selling them where?
I'm
or do you just have a foot fetish?
I'm selling feet pictures of famous people on 8chan.
I see.
But I'm saying now that I have his ear...
Do you have his ear?
He hasn't responded yet.
Do you have his toe?
I have Elon's foot on the line, and I can reel him in. All right, let's take another break, answer some more questions after these messages.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back.
Yes, we are.
Seriously, man.
Okay.
You can't be on your phone during the podcast.
I wasn't on my phone during the podcast. I was on my phone during the break, and you brought us back in really fast.
Abruptly.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of really fast and abrupt, this guy's writing style makes it sound like he's in a lot of, I guess, an emergency situation.
Interesting.
Just the subject of his email is, in all caps, advice would be helpful right about now.
All right. He's stuck somewhere.
He's sort of mad at us.
Uh-huh.
Here's the situation. There's a girl I like, but I feel as though I don't have a chance with her.
All right.
Help.
That's
no,
it?
There's more. We're kind of friends, but we're friends in a way that when I hang out with my group of friends, she's usually there, but we never talk one-on-one. I feel as though I should get closer to her and open up to her, but I don't think I have many similar interests, so I find it hard to converse with her. This is also caused by how I usually don't talk to her, so it's weird if I start now. Mm-hmm. She's kind of nerdy, and I am too a little bit, but less so.
Okay.
But I never really got into things like D&D and stuff she's interested in. That said, I have to say I'm pretty dull all around.
Oh my God.
I sit around and watch Netflix all day and play casual mobile games. Shout out to Backbone. The thing about getting close to her as a friend, her closer friend who she hangs out with, told her he likes her. She said she wasn't interested. All this comes with a few questions, like how do I approach her without being weird? Is there no chance with me and her? Do I get into what she's into? How do I become a more interesting and charismatic person? Just those light questions. Mm-hmm. And if you could answer them in the order they were received, that would be greatly appreciated.
I mean, you nailed it with the second aspect of this, which is get into the things that she's into.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, you're doing that in a real way, like, yeah. You know. But it sounds like you don't have any hobbies that you really enjoy. You called yourself dull.
That's a hard one, to have no hobbies.
Yeah.
Because I know someone with a few hobbies. Mm-hmm. Like, I like basketball and a few things. But if I just didn't like sports, and then I also didn't like movies or music, what's left at that point?
There's so many things that are left. You just have to get out there and try to explore.
Yeah, you have to accidentally do something.
Yeah. And I think so let's actually back up even further. Says he has no hobbies. He's not interested in anything except casual gaming. So let's break the mold there,
yeah.
Right? Because then you get into anything. Doesn't even have to be what she's interested in, but you'll feel more confident. You'll feel more interesting. You will have something to talk about, even if it's not something she likes.
Yes.
You don't have to like the same thing to have an interesting conversation.
Right.
So step one, before you worry about how to approach this person,
mm-hmm.
let's fix the root cause of the insecurity, which is, I think you need to have a hobby.
You got to get a hobby.
Get a hobby.
Figure out what you like to do / see.
Yeah.
Even watching movies is a hobby.
It is. You're a cinephile.
That's right.
A deep dive into Kubrick, for example, turns you into a casual Netflix watcher to someone who has an opinion on a specific thing.
Then you're watching with a purpose.
Yes.
So get into something.
And it can't just be The Office reruns. That's not a hobby.
Yeah. That's a break from your hobby.
Yeah.
And it's fine to watch The Office reruns too.
What about if you take the casual mobile gaming one step further and you become an intense fucking Twitch streamer? That way you're turning a light hobby into something more substantial.
There you go. Yeah. That's another thing.
Yeah. But it's hard to fake. Like, if it's not deep into your bones, interesting to you, you can never get into it.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, like, how do I just talk to her? It'll be weird.
Yeah.
It's like, it's only going to be weird if you talk to her and tell her you're into her after not talking to her at all. And you actually might not be as into her as you even think, because you actually haven't spoken to her, right?
Advice would be helpful right about now.
We're giving him a lot of advice.
Okay.
So yeah, I think let's not worry about the outcome that you want, which is you maybe want to be romantically involved with this person.
Yeah.
Let's just worry about creating any relationship with her now, because she hangs out with your friends, but you don't speak to her. Try speaking to her. That's step one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be towards the goal of being romantic. Just speak with her to be her friend, because you're hanging out in a group of friends and it might be actually a little rude that you're not talking to her. So talk to her about her interests, and you don't have to share them to be interested in them.
Yeah, but you can sort of find out what those interests are, then, you know, give them a test run yourself.
Yeah, because now you're in the market for a new hobby. Maybe you could talk to her about that.
I'm in the market for a new hobby if you have anything. Crochet or anime.
Not really a hobby, but...
I'm into craisins recently. You know, cranberry raisins.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a hobby.
I've been dehydrating fruit is all.
That's a hobby.
Well, buying it.
Consuming it. Oh.
Fruit leather. Fruit pleather. Fruit canvas.
And burlap.
Unrelated
to fruit.
There's a bag on the wall. I've gotten into home decor.
Good shit.
If you had to choose a hobby completely unrelated to what you do now, like pretend all your hobbies were off the table.
Okay.
What would you choose and when?
Wow.
You have to choose a new hobby.
It's hard not to just think about any of the... I guess a theme of my hobbies is that they're all active. Mm-hmm. I've heard people really love pickleball, but I'm not that interested in trying it. It's a really good question. I love it.
What about pickling?
Pickling?
That's a hobby.
Yeah. I guess the ones that I've liked are like trying to become more like hands-on and like DIY. So maybe if I had no hobbies, like I wasn't going
like
surfing or biking,
or
I
would,
or just like, you know, I'd go around my house and be like, oh, I like would like to see if I can improve this thing, or
DIY.
Like
DIY.
Yeah. You know, just like small
sanding.
Small projects that I'm like, normally I'd pay somebody to power wash my front yard, but like, no, maybe I'll get a power washer and see how that
that's cool. Works. Look into it.
Yeah. Something like that.
Me, I wouldn't be able to choose. That's just not a fair question.
Fine. Let's
Thank
move on.
You so much for writing in, everybody.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
All my hobbies are true to me, to my soul. And to say,
you said
oh, let
you
me
like basketball.
And
who
random.
Would I be if I didn't like basketball?
It wouldn't be me anymore, man.
Like good.
The fact that
good.
You have an answer to that question.
Ideally,
is,
you would choose a hobby that does
flawed.
That makes you not you.
You're,
no one likes
you're
you.
You're not true to yourself because you can just power washing. Nice. Oh, everybody, Jake will fucking change who he is on the drop of a hat with
That's
one
the golden mic for you. You finally stood up for yourself.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Ooh, dropped glasses. It's a little disruptive. I didn't like the way you made it such a meal of it. Thinking about rescinding, revoking. Usually you're not supposed to do this.
We're almost. I feel like this is the end of the episode.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, it's your. The golden mic is yours for standing up for yourself.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no idea that's all it took.
It's just confidence.
500 something. I'm literally getting choked up.
Yeah, well, try to bring the episode home because I feel like what you're doing now is so disruptive.
It I don't want it to end. If that makes sense. This feeling has to last.
You're talking so slow.
Let's find another question.
Oh, you're derailing the show. The award is about excellence in podcasting, so let's land the plane gently. Let's just bring it home.
Mm.
You earned the award. Stick the landing, Blumenfeld.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
For watching the last episode of our podcast.
Really? It's going to be over now.
I think I have to go out on a high note or something.
This is why you've never won the award. This is why I'm rescinding the award. It is
no
being
way.
Revoked. It's being revoked.
Why?
Never in history has someone earned it and lost it in an episode.
Right, because you've always won it.
And I win it now for protecting its sanctity. Let's close this out. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. If you did watch over on the If I Were You YouTube, thanks for listening. Remember to rate and subscribe. We've got a ton of other content out there over on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA. Let's thank that artist who submitted a theme song, who was me.
Yeah.
I am the lead man, the front man of the band, Fade on Shuffle. Why don't we take it out with the second half of that song? Shout out to Gareth O'Connor, who is my bandmate. And shout out to you, who is taking home the 538th turdy, a record that I do know will stand the test of time. And stand the test of rhyme. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Down and out, what's that about? You can count on them to count us out. But all year, we've been doing it our own way. Class back off the bus, but since when did we even care if they look past us or if they stare? Cause all we need's a bunch of weed, joints to smoke, munchies to feed. I've never smoked, but I'm down to try. If I inhale too much, are you sure I won't die? Time. If this isn't fucked up, I don't know what is. No, for real though, I don't know what is. I think I'm drunk, I know I'm stoned. Someone help me, take me home. I stole my mom's wine and I drank it in the park, but I gotta get back home before it gets dark. Cheers to feed. I told to have an album to binge, or an edible snack from the fridge. Cause all we need is a bunch of weed. Drugs, smoke, more cheese to feed.
attempt to count us out, but all year we've been doing it our own way. Down is where we wanna stay. Down and out, what's that about? You can count on them to count us out, but all year we've been doing it our own way. Down is where we wanna stay.
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.